when you hear that song, takes you right back to fifth grade skating rink. Just me. Okay, all right. How many know we're in our series called You're Too Old for That? I started the series 2 weeks ago, and of course, Justin did an awesome job last week, continuing the series, and didn't he get a great job? Yes. Today, I'm going to continue back. This is our third part of this series. You're Too Old for That. And Paul made it very clear when he was talking to the Corinth church. He was like, listen, I want to talk to you as spiritual, mature people. Now, realizing these are people who are going around doing a lot of the work of the Holy Spirit. And they're going around and they're planting churches, the first churches. But yet Paul had to take time, says, time out, guys. Says, time out. He goes, listen, I want to speak to you as spiritual people, but I'm still coming in and having to feed you like spiritual babies. And he's, what the point he was trying to make was this, that I'm trying to take you to a deeper level, but you're still hanging out and doing the same things. You're still arguing over the same things. You're still struggling with the same simple things of the faith. And he goes, basically what he said was, well, we did an illustration a few weeks ago. We're all walking around here, you know, kind of drinking out of our spiritual bottles, being pushed around in our spiritual, you know, buggies here. And he says, it's time for us to get out of our spiritual diapers, put on our big boy underwear and underoos, okay? And let's put them on and say, God, I want to grow up, okay? It's a time to say, I'm ready to take some steps in growing. It should be a natural part of our spiritual walk. Now, we always expect our children to grow, right? And when they don't grow, we know something's wrong. When they're not maturing naturally, growing, we call the doctor. What's wrong? What's wrong? Because we identify as parents, we identify when our children are not growing that there's something wrong. There's probably something going on genetically or something happening with physical problems in their life. And so we go to the doctor to find out what's stopping them from growing. The same thing needs to happen in our life spiritually when we have a long period of time. We look back and say, all right, I haven't had a growth spurt in a long time. I have been stuck at the same level for a long time. Maybe there's something wrong that I need to address in my spiritual diet. Turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor Gene's going to tell it just like it is today. Sometimes we got to look at our spiritual diet and say, well, we can't live off this baby food forever. We got to get on to the meat and potatoes. And I should be speaking to some of you right now. Hallelujah. The meat and potatoes. So he said, I'm going to talk to you not just as mere men. I want to talk to you as spirit-led people who are maturing. You know, I love this story of the prodigal son. I spoke about it quite a bit in the last series on staying planted. And it's the story of course, you guys know the story. I'm not going to elaborate on this story very much, but we know of the young man who went to his dad and said, Dad, give me all that I have coming now, my inheritance now. I don't want to wait until you die. I want the inheritance now. He says, give it to me now. Give it to me now. And of course, he got it and blew it all and lost it all. And the famine came and he was finding himself out with the mud and the pigs, feeding the pigs. And finally he says, I'll go to my father and I'll go to him and said, make me one of your hired servants. And of course his father sees him off and wraps his arms of grace around him. Now this is an awesome thing, but I want you to realize this, that the prodigal son was very immature, right? I think we lose this part of the story. Think about this morning. The prodigal son showed his immaturity when he said, give me, right? So turn to your neighbor and say, when we have the attitude of give me, it's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Give me what I want. Give me what I think I need. Give me, give me. Isn't that so true? And we let it creep over into the American church today. It's all about us, right? Give me my seat. Give me my song. All right, that's just another sermon altogether. But he's finally came to a point of maturity and he says, make me. Think about that. He went from give me to finally he says, I'm going to go home and ask the Father to make me. See, there's a shifting of his language. His first was give me everything I got coming to me. And then now he says, I'm going to go home and say, Dad, make me as one of your servants. Oh, that'll preach. If we don't get anything else this morning, that should really settle into your heart that spiritual maturity comes when you stop saying, give me, and say, God, make me. Make me, God, make me into the person you want me to be. God, make me into your servant. See, I pray that as we grow spiritually, that this is sinking down in our heart, that our attitude will shift from, I want what I want, the immature spirit, is saying, God, I want what you want. God, I want you to make me into what you want me to be. God, I want you to take and refine me. See, you can only cry out, make me, when you spend some time hanging out in the mud and pigs. If you never had any time of walking through a famine time or a desert time, a time when resources were cut off, and you found yourself at the lowest of lows, then you're at the right spot, because then you can cry, God, make me. Make me, God. I've tried it my way. Lord, I've walked this way. God, I want you now to change my direction. I want you to change my outlook, and I'm ready for you to make me. See, many times God's got to have us go through those seasons of famine so that he can produce in us this humility spirit that says, God, make me. Are you catching it this morning? That's a lot deeper than you're catching this morning, I guarantee you. That it is, God, you make me into what you want me to be. We've got to come against this spirit, especially here in the American church, this give me spirit. This give me what I want. And it happens when you have a church on every corner. But how about we say, God, you make us, make us, make us. See, this spirit, this series is about us responding to God's invitation to go to a higher dimension. God's calling us up from where we're at to take steps and levels of levels. He's calling us up to be different, to say, I'm ready for you to take another step. It's about admitting. See, this series, you're too old for that. It's about us. It's us that God is calling us up to a new step, a new level. And it's us not only acknowledging that God is calling me up to a new level, but it's me acknowledging that I've been stuck this level far too long. You see the difference? It's both levels. It's not only acknowledging that God has got a plan to grow me spiritually, but it's also me admitting I've been stuck at the same level a long time. And I need to make some changes. I need to get to a different level in God. I need to grow up and take some steps of maturing in God. And so this whole thing about you're too old for that is about spiritual maturity and us recognizing this. Let's look at our text this morning. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Let's go back to it again. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now as a known in part, but then I shall just as also I am known. Now we talk about growing up. Now, I believe that hopefully that we will never grow old in our mind. You know what I'm talking about? I hope that you never get a season in your life where you say, you know what, No, I think youth and energy comes from your mindset, okay? I'm not against anything about thinking young and keeping a young mindset and keeping an outlook and an openness in your heart to life. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the spiritual depth here of in our mind, not only in our mind, but in our spirit, saying that, you know what? That I've got to learn to become the man or the woman that God is calling me to be. I put away childish things. See, not youthful things, but there's a difference between childish and youthful things. See, childish things are immature. You know, youthful things I played a lot of sports in my youth. I don't want to give those up quite yet. I still like those things, but there's some immature things I did that it was totally inappropriate for me to do now. I've got to grow up. And spiritually, it's the same thing in our life. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it like this. But we all, with the unveiled face, beholding as a what? A mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from where? Glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. So we know from glory to glory means from level to level. From distance to distance, from glory to glory, that God has always got a level of maturing that he's wanting you and I to walk in. We're being transformed. We're being matured from level to level. See, at each level, look at this statement I made. I want you to write it down. At each new level, you should be able to see more of Jesus in me now than you did at the last level I was at. Are you getting that today? So when I step up from where I'm at and go to a different level in God, people, how do I know I'm there? When people look at me and say, there's something different about you. I'm seeing you transform before my eyes. I'm seeing you. You used to be a lot different. Your language used to be different. You used to be a lot more selfish. I'm seeing you become a more compassionate person. I'm seeing you become more of a giving person. I'm seeing you begin to reflect God's love different at a different level. So when people are noticing you do that, you know that, hey, I'm going to a different level. At every level, I should reflect a new side of God in my life. We're made to be what? Transformed in whose image? Whose image? His image, right? So this is what spiritual maturity looks like, is that I'm being transformed into the image of God. And when people see me, I reflect his glory. When people see me, I reflect his kindness. When people see me, I reflect his love. When people see me, they see God working through me. And at each level, they should see more and more and more of that in my life. Are you catching it this morning? Are you taking the challenge this morning? Do people see more of God in your life this year than they did last year? We could probably just stop right there. Let me ask that question again to you. Can people see more of Jesus in your life this year than they did this time last year? That's how you judge. Am I growing? Am I maturing? See, God expects us to grow spiritually over seasons. Now, my kids, look at our kids. Sometimes they get stuck at the same growth for a long time, and all of a sudden they just have a growth spurt, right? So growth may come in spurts. It may be a season when you're walking the same, but eventually there should be some maturing happening. We don't stay the same forever. We should be going from level to level, from glory to glory, is what Scripture says. But the problem is this. The problem is we want God to use us, but not make us. Let me say again. The problem is we want God to use us. Use me, God. Give me, God. Use me, God. Give me, God. Use me, God. Give me, God. But we don't want God to make us. And see, part of the maturing process of saying, God, I want you to make me into your image. We've got to stop crying out for God to use me and start crying out for God to make me. See, many times our character is not ready to sustain us where God wants to use us. Did you get that this morning? God use me, God use me, but my character won't sustain me where we want God to use us. And so instead of me saying, God use me, God use me, God use me, how about I say, God make me, and make me, so when you make me into the image that you're conforming me to be, transforming me to be, then I'll become the person and be used the way you want to use me. And my character will sustain me once I'm there. We got way too many people who want to become spiritual giants, and they jump out way too far ahead in themselves, and then they run into a wall and crash and burn. Why? Because their giftings took them to a place their character could not sustain them. See, too many times we get our giftings mixed up with spiritual maturity, and they really had nothing to do with each other. They're two totally different things. Our giftings and spiritual maturity can sometimes be a hiding point. Well, that person's really gifted. They're mature. No, no. They have certain giftings that God has given them. So we got to begin to pray, God, make us. And we scream too much that other, God, use me. You ever thought about that? God is saying, you know, God, use me, use me. And I'm thinking, what is God thinking all the time when he hears us crying it out? Because we do all the time. God, use me, God, use me. And God's thinking, you know what? Have you not read the Bible? I can pretty much use anything I want to use. Just ask Balin about the donkey, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, if he can use a donkey, he can use you. My mother-in-law's in this service today, so I kept that statement clean just for all you people right there, okay? That's good. Amen. She came alive right there in the morning. That's good. Hallelujah. But see, we got to start crying out for God to make us, not just use us. See, God has some of us in slow motion. Why? See, it's like, God, I wanted to go to the next level, and it feels like spiritual. I'm like, everything is motion. You ever feel that way spiritually? Like you're just stuck. Wow. Why? Because God's trying to change my character. He's trying to make me so that when I go to the next level, I can stay there and not have to go back. Because we see way too many Christians that they're like, man, they just want to jump, man. I'm going from this level, woo, higher dimension here. And this is my breakthrough. And this is where I'm going. And woo, we get there. We're like, yay. And all of a sudden, we're like, why? Because we had not been changed. And our character is not ready. Our reflection of God is not ready. Our pride is not ready. And we want to jump to there. And we got to go back to the place of saying, God, make me. Just don't use me. Make me, God, until you want me to be. See, the immature jump at every opportunity and then miss their God-given assignment. I can't tell you how many people I went to Bible college with that I've seen this. They jumped at every opportunity that came their way and never completed one assignment. I mean, there was no commitment. They just went along. The first person that offered them a position or a title, and just boom, went there. This is the best of God. And they ran here. And next year, God changed his mind. And then a year later, God changed his mind again. 2 years later, God changed his mind. And then I was like, man, your God must be really confusing. I don't know, because you see, the immature jump at title, position. The immature jump at thinking, all right, this is where I got to be, and boom, 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 and looking for advancement all the time. The mature says, no, God's got me at a level. He's got me committed. I'm walking through this season so that he can sustain me, mature me, prepare me for where he's trying to take me. Because he's got a God-given assignment for all of our lives, and until he makes me, I'll never fulfill that God-given assignment. See, I've got to be made. I've got to be changed. I've got to be formed. Let God transform us. Stay planted. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay planted. You know I had to work that in somewhere in this series. Stay planted and let God make you. That's why staying planted is so important. As we just finished that series up, is because the longer I'm planted, the more I allow God to make me. To form me, to mold me, to change me, to create me into the image that he's wanting me to be. See, people will be impressed with your gifts, right? Wow, they got a great gift. I wish I had that gift. And people are very easily impressed with our gifts. Can I tell you who's really not impressed with our gifts? It's God. Think about it. Who's the one that gave us the gifts? You know? Hey, God, look at this. Look at this gift you gave me. God's really not impressed with our gifts. He gave them to us. It's kind of like, you know what? And he knows the real us. It's kind of like when your kids go to a friend's house and spends the night. And that parent comes to you and says, boy, you got the most well-behaved child. They were picking up after themselves, and they were polite, and didn't argue with anybody. And inside, are you really impressed? You're like, you don't know my kid. I live with them. You ain't seen their room. You didn't see the fight they were in with their sibling yesterday. Screaming and hollering and crying. Yeah, okay, right. It's not that impressive. Why? Because they're my kid. I know their giftings, number one. I know they can do it, but I know the real them. I thank God everybody else is impressed. Oh, look at their gifts. And God's like, I know the real you. I know you. Yeah, I gave you those gifts. And yeah, but listen, there's a lot more that I want Jesus to do. What impresses God is when we say, God, make me. God, break me. God, mold me. Let me become clay in the potter's hands. Let me become the person you're molding me to be. That impresses God. That impresses God when we say, God, make us. Why? Because we're humbling ourselves and saying, God, I can't do it without you. I think Scripture's pretty full of that point. It says that God resists the proud, and he exalts the who? The humble. This is what impresses God. This is what moves God's heart, is when we say, God, make me. Don't allow your giftings to be a smokescreen for maturity, okay? What we want is you to have giftings, but to be made so you can bring that maturity with your giftings and let God bring the most out of it that he wants. Because obviously he's given every one of us gifts to be used, and he wants us to use them, but unless we're mature, they'll never reach its fullest potential. So ask King Saul all about that. He can tell you this story. King Saul will make it very clear. King Saul was a guy who had a lot of giftings. He was a head taller than anybody else. He had the giftings of leadership. People saw him as like, this is surely the man of God. Look at him. He walks like a king. He talks like a king. He acts like a king. But the problem was, once he got to the palace, he was not able to handle the pride that came along with the office. And therefore, what? He disobeyed God. I got a better way, God. I've got a better plan, God. I've got my way, God. And God had to take his hand of blessing off of King Saul and go to the backside of a desert and raise up a shepherd boy who was after his own heart, who said, God, make me. Because God doesn't judge the way you and I judge. He judges on those who say, God, make me. Those who have a pliable heart. God, I want you to make me. See, spiritual maturity is all about this commitment. Look at Romans 8:29 says, for whom, this is Jesus, this is what we're talking about. For whom he, what? For knew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Look at that word, to be. He predestined to be. See, God, you got to make me. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. My destiny is what? To be formed into his image, to be made. This is my destiny. You want to know what the will of God is for my life? Let me give it to you today. It's not some big secret. The will of God for my life is to be conformed into the image of his son. That's what it is. My titles will change. My office will change. Let me ask you this. I'm a pastor now, but when I was serving, cleaning toilets at a church without a title, was I walking in my giftings? Was I out of God's will? No. Why? Because my giftings and my being in God's will has nothing to do with my title. Are you getting this? It's all about saying, God, make me, change me. Mold me to the person you're calling me to be. My destiny is to be made into his image. My destiny is not a title or a role. It's not a gifting. See, maturity, my maturity is revealed in crisis. My spiritual maturity is revealed in crisis, but it's cultivated, developed in commitment. Let's say it again. My spiritual maturity is revealed in crisis. When you go through a crisis, you're going to find out just how spiritually mature you are. Oh, I'm spiritually mature. Let something happen to your home. your family. We'll see just how mature you are. See, spiritual maturity, it's revealed in crisis, but it's developed, cultivated in what? Commitment. Commitment is the first leg of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity starts with commitment. Luke 16:10, look what it says here. If you are faithful, committed, right? If you are committed or you're faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the what? The large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest in the greater responsibilities. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, basically, he said, if you're committed to the small things, if you're committed to cleaning the toilets, I know you'll be committed to the next role I have for you. Those who are faithful, committed in the small things in life, they'll be committed when the heat is on, when the crisis hits. They will stay committed. But the problem is this, we all want to commit to the big thing, but we don't want to walk it out being made in the small things. I'm preaching a lot better this morning than you're saying amen. I must be stepping on someone's toes this morning. I can tell you I've been there. Okay, I'm just preaching to you where I've been. I'm not judging anybody here today. I've walked this. I'm living this. I tell you, I've been there. God is wanting us to realize that it's about the small things are big to God. Spiritual maturity is staying faithful in the small things that he's asked you to do. I mean, if you can't be planted in the house of God from Sunday to Sunday, then we're like, God, use me, use me. And God's like, are you faithful? I've given you something to steward. Are you faithful in those small things that I've asked you to steward? And as you're faithful in those small things, then I'm going to call you up to a deeper level. He sees, if you're faithful when nobody's watching, when you're faithful in the things that nobody else cares about, then he goes, then I'll know you'll be faithful when everybody's watching and the spotlight's on. See, there's a season all of us must walk through of commitment of learning to mature. More does not change us. It only makes us more of what we really are. I want more blessing, God. I want more titles. I want more. That's what the prodigal son did. No, I want more, God. I want more than what you're giving me right now. That's the prodigal son spirit, the immature spirit. But we got to shift over and say, God, no. God, you make me. Notice the difference in attitude and the spirit. God is wanting us to be made. That's why we see, you'll see, even all you guys, I love the NFL draft because coming up here in just a few weeks, anybody here excited about football already? And it's already, spring's here. You see, one of the things they do is they look back as they're getting ready to draft a prospect onto their team is they look at his character and they say, all right, if this person who's on scholarship now, but isn't making much money, well, not supposed to make much money now, if he can't handle the spotlight at the university, what makes him think he's going to be able to handle the spotlight when he's making millions of dollars? They know that. It's not going to change. His character's not going to change. He is what he is. He is who he says he is. You know, so they, guys who have had shown the ability not to be committed in college can many times cost them millions of dollars of where they're drafted in the draft simply because, you know, all of a sudden they get to, well, I'm going to mature now. I was just being immature in college, but now that I'm an adult, I'm going to be faithful to this team. I'm going to represent this team well. I'm going to be a good spokesperson in the community. And how many times have we seen this? And it always comes back. 99% of the time, these guys always come back and end up being just as bad or worse once they get more money. Because why? Because the money doesn't fix the problem. See, titles don't fix the problem. The problem is we haven't been made. We haven't been changed. See, we got to quit trying to think that a title, a promotion, is going to change our problems and say, God, I want you to change me. Change me, make me, God. So let me give you some things here. Spiritual maturity starts with commitment. We know that, okay? Spiritual maturity starts with commitment. I thought it started with the word. Yeah. But if you're not committed, you'll never read the word. Let me ask you, how many of you did 30 days in a row of the 30-day challenge? Right there is your answer, right there. Spiritual maturity starts with knowledge of the word. If you're not committed, you never follow through. See, this is why it starts right here. Commitment. Commitment. We have four types of commitment that we all seem to be committed to. Number one, the coerced commitment. The coerced commitment. This is where someone talks you into it. You ever been there? Hey, let's go join the gym. My friends, let's go join now. Get free tanning and everybody's losing weight and summer's almost here. I walked in the gym the other day and it was just packed. I couldn't get a machine and no one had been in there for hardly all winter long. And now the sun comes out and all these people are in the gym shoulder to shoulder. And in my spirit, I was crying out, too late. You waited too long. You're not going to get the results you want before summer. I'm just telling you right now. But they got coerced. Someone said, come on, join me. It's a 2-for-1 special. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. That's the coerced commitment. Someone talked you into it. You did it because of the guilt. Will you please do this? Nobody else will give me a ride and you don't really want to. Okay. That's coerced. And we also see the casual commitment. This is where we commit and not thought it out. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't really think it out. Hey, I need some help moving this Saturday. Oh yeah, man. Just give me a call if you need some help. Yeah. Friday night about midnight. Hey, I'll see you in the morning at 6 o'clock. You're like, what did I say? You know what I'm talking about? We didn't really think it out. Oh, y'all call me if you want help. And you really didn't mean it. And when they call you on it, you're like, okay. We don't count the costs, you know. For many of us here, we've committed things and didn't count the costs. You know what it's going to take. It's not just about joining the gym. It's going to take commitment to be there. And after about 2 sessions of your thighs burning, and your lungs on fire. You're like, we didn't really think this through, did we? All right. Maybe we should have started back in October, slow and steady. Just a thought. It's the casual commitment. We have the conditional commitment. This is where we do things based on when things are going my way. I think this is where a lot of us are at, huh? I'm committed as long as things are going my way. As long as life's good and the blessing's there and everything's just right. But let things get out of kilter in my life and I'm not committed any longer. Things don't go my way. They're not singing my song. They're not doing my thing. Then, you know, we're like, oh, things aren't going my way. How many people know people like that? When things are going their way, they're on board. But when things aren't going on board, they're not a team player. We all know people like that around our work. We see people like that. That's the conditional commitment. It's always conditional on whether or not they're being satisfied. But what God is trying to move us past these levels, and he's trying to get every one of us in this room who are Christians into this level of kingdom commitment. See, spiritual maturity is a kingdom commitment. Let me give it to you real fast today. The kingdom commitment. This is a commitment to cause, and no matter what the condition, you're staying planted. No matter what the season is, you're staying planted. No matter what's going on, you're staying planted. The kingdom commitment. It's established in consistency. It's being consistent. Look at Daniel's life, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what decree? Remember they got tricked the king into signing the decree. If anybody prays to anybody else other than the king, they'd be thrown in the lion's den. So Daniel just learned this decree about the lion's den. But what's he do? He stays consistent. He went upstairs to his room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. And 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. That's consistency. It's not, all right, I'm committed until there's danger involved. I'm committed until I might be inconvenienced. No, you're talking about a kingdom commitment is, God, I am committed no matter what the cost. No matter what it may cost me. God, I am committed. I'm committed. I'm committed. Kingdom commitment endures opposition. It endures opposition. When the storm passes, you are still standing. When the storm passes, you are still standing. Look what Jesus said in John 6:53. Remember, he's talking to his disciples, and he said, hey, I tell you this, unless you eat my flesh of the Son of Man and you drink his blood, because you'll have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. and I will raise them up at the last day. Now, this is verse 52, 53, and 54. And of course, Jesus was talking about communion. He was talking about the symbolism of communion, about salvation, about what's going to happen on the cross. But they couldn't understand that, and they were already starting to, like, in their heart, going, who's this crazy man? In verse 60, he says it right here. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? See, God uses out the offense to weed out the weak commitments. You ever been offended when a word hits you right in the heart? That hurts, Pastor. It hurts. And God says, I'm separating you. I'm trying to call you up to a deeper level. He was trying to call some people up to a deeper level in their relationship with God. He was trying to mature his disciples, and he lost about two-thirds of his disciples. Remember, he had several following him, not just the 12. He had a multitude following him, and they all left because they were offended. And he turns to his other disciples and says, are you going to leave me too? Are you offended? But see, he also says this in Luke 7:23. Look what Jesus said. And blessed, everybody say blessed. And blessed is he who is not offended because of who? Me. Let me say this to you. On the other side of your offense is lying a blessing if you will stay committed. When you get offended, when you get things that try to bring you down, when things that try to separate you from your commitment, when you hang on, the blessing is on the other side. Why? Because Jesus has always stated, God has always stated, when you are faithful in the little, he's going to bless you with more. When you walk through the offense and you don't give up and you stay planted, the blessing's on the other side of the offense. See, Satan uses offense to weaken your commitment. But God uses the offense to expose areas of weakness in our life so he can make us stronger. When I was younger, I used to love to have certain people around me. Let me go ahead and call them musicians now, because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble here. So go ahead and have the musicians come on stage. How many remember when you was a kid in school and, man, and you walked into a certain crowd, a certain place, and there's always, as Justin was talking about last week, there's always certain kids that just try to egg you on. Even when I got older, I knew certain friends, Charlie, had my back. You know what I'm talking about? I had certain friends I knew when it hit the fan, that certain friends are going to be there with me. See, Jeremiah is that kind of friend with me. I know that no matter what I go through my life, Jeremiah is going to walk with me. He's proven that. He's walked with me through my lowest of lows and through my highest of highs. I know that. If I need somebody to go and get into a fight with me, I know Jeremiah will be right there with me. I ain't going to lie to you. A few years ago, we had that. We had somebody who was actually always trying to instigate something. I had somebody I could not win over. I tried being nice, tried being kind. And they would get in my face, say, hit me, Pastor. Swing at me, Pastor. I'm not, no lie. Am I lying, Jeremiah? Tell him. And he said, Pastor Gene, he goes, don't you ever go face that person again unless I'm there with you. Why? Because he hit my back. He's like, if they're going to hit anybody, let them hit me. They won't care about children's pastor. That's all right. He goes, they won't care. The papers won't care about that. So, you know, if I get in a fight and knock this guy out, it won't be headlines. If you do it, it's going to be on the news. So, I mean, you need people like that around you. Yeah, that's right. I learned a long time ago. Go ahead, musicians, come on up. I learned a long time ago that when I was going to be going somewhere, that I knew certain people I wanted with me. But how many know there's always certain people who are all talk, but when the heat gets on, they're nowhere to be found? Hey, man, we're going to go over here, and anything happens, man, I got your back. The heat gets turned on, and you look around, and that person's long gone. They were running their mouth like nobody's business. Go for it, man, I got your back. Go for it. They come on, I got your back. committed. See, God's looking for people who are not easily distracted, who are not going to fall off. He's looking for those who are going to stay committed. That's who he wants to go to war with. That's who he wants to go to battle with. And those who are committed. And those who are committed, they can walk in and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. Why? Because they know, listen, they know they got a revelation of this, that the enemy cannot kill them. He can only hit them. Ask Job. He can strip away things you have. He can take away titles, position. He can take away possessions, but he can't kill you. And so I know this. He can hit me and knock me down, but to those who get up and keep walking and stay committed, those who say, I'm going to be spiritually mature, staying committed, I'm going to walk, I'm not going to give up, I'm staying planted in the house of the Lord, I'm staying planted in God's call for my life. God, make me. God, change me. God, I am committed to your call. They step into a level of spiritual maturity where God, it's level A, where God can, before he can do anything else, we got to have that commitment. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. We're going to sing this song that simply says, moving forward. And I'm going to invite you today, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I want God to make me like never before in my life. I want to quit asking God to use me, and I want to switch my prayer to God, make me. I'm ready for God to make me. I'm ready for a different level of maturity in my life. I'm ready to take a step of season of growth in my life. I want to lay aside the spiritual immature things in my life, and I want to take hold of the spiritually mature things that God is placing before me. If this is you today, I'm going to invite you to step out to the front. Join us in this song. But simply says, I'm going forward. I'm not going back. I'm not staying at this level. I'm going forward to a higher dimension, to a glory to glory, where God's called me to go.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Yeah,
lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, we love you. But I pray that, Father, our prayer will become, God, you make us. God, you make us. God, forgive us for always crying out, use us, but never crying out, make us. God, I pray that there will be a new level of commitment that is falling upon your people in this room this morning. That, God, we are seeking commitment first. We're seeking change first. We're seeking that you would change us, God, making us. God, that you would take us to a new level. God, that you would not allow us to stay complacent. But God, you're challenging us to grow. And we say yes to your will. Yes to your commitment. And we say yes and amen and amen. Put your hands together. Bless the Lord one more time this morning. God bless you so much. Thank you so much for being here today. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for that marriage retreat, sign up in the back. Don't forget the chili feed and dessert auction tonight. It's going to be a blast. God bless you.